Hi, morning, church. How is everybody doing? Good? We need to smile. Come on. We need to smile. I have to make sure that I smile today because it's Mother's Day. You know, a special day when, I mean, this month has been quite nice. It's been lots of celebrations for women, lots of celebration, mothers, and I just want us all to be happy, grateful, and accepting of who God has created us to be. Praise the Lord. We know that now there's a lot of different feelings people have. And, you know, you could see someone today, and then they will tell you they're a mother, and then they look like a man. And you're just wondering, you know. But the truth is, there's no confusion from heaven. Hallelujah. And even though we kind of have those problems, motherhood is exclusively from God. Praise the Lord. And we will know that that is true. So it's still exclusively from God. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. I'm just going to see how I can share whatever God has put in my heart to share. But I just want to generally honor every woman and every lady at whatever stage you are in your life. I want you to know that motherhood is beyond just biological birth. There are so many ways you can be a mother. And I just want us to know that that is exactly what heaven has made it to be. Praise the Lord. We could do that, could be by biology, you know, that could be by adoption. It could just be by mentoring. And it could be the feeling that you've got. Some people have had to step into responsibilities as young people because their mothers aren't around, and then they've had to mother their siblings. So I want all of you to feel celebrated in the eyes of the Lord, and I want you to just thank God for all of that. It is all part of His plan. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just going to kind of look a bit at we'll just take a bit of a walk around, and then we'll know what God has for us today. Praise the Lord, if that's how it will be. So we'll just start from the Garden of Eden. And I think it's always really important for us to go back there, because when we do, we're able to really understand. God had an original plan to be really good to mankind. The Garden of Eden was full of everything, okay? And we can see that we started there, conceived in Genesis 3:6. It's not every scripture I will read today, but you can put them down, okay? And unfortunately, man fell there because he disobeyed God. And so that's where our problem started. That's actually where the problem started. And I just want to also say that if we look at Genesis 3:15, we'll see that God intentionally put enmity between the woman and Satan, because it seemed like Satan came to deceive the woman because he knows the influence, the power of influence in a woman. And I can assure you that's what it is. You see them wanting to what? Advertise pharmaceutical products, and they'll put this woman in her bathing suit. What does that have to do with a woman in bathing suit? But they know if they put a woman in her bathing suit standing like this, you might eventually buy the medication. That's because we have that power of influence. And so Satan tried to get man through woman. And that's exactly what happened. And I just want us to know. And then I'm not being funny, but I just want to remind men that, you know what? Woman wasn't yet created when God gave those instructions. You know, I'm not trying to prove that we're innocent, because we are not. Because I think I actually had to look up it up, and I found out that we were inside man by that time, and we hadn't been yet created as women. So we really can't say that we didn't know what we were doing. Yes, we did. But I just felt like rubbing it in to the men. You are the ones who God told not to eat that fruit, and you just told us. So maybe you didn't tell us the right way. Okay. Praise the Lord. So again, that is where it started. And God put enmity, because he didn't want the pally-pallying between woman and Satan. So he said, between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. And he said, your seed will crush the head of Satan's seed, and then Satan's seed will pinch our foot. I'll just use the word pinch. Praise the Lord. But he said more than that. I just want to also make us understand what the significance of a mother is. Because when we look at the significance, we're able to understand really. And you find out that, you know, this is what it's meant to be. Signifies life, birth, nurture, patience, and compassion. God actually used the mother to kind of like express his love and his care for us, assurance, because of the heart of the compassion of a woman. And I just want to say that the most important, I know I've said this before, the most important role for a woman is the bringing of life. Okay, it is life. And that is where you speak life into situations. I want us to understand that. Okay? So I want us to, we'll probably kind of like leave things a little bit, and then we'll be going, like I said, we'll take this journey back and forth. And I'll get to what I really feel God is putting in my heart to share. Obviously, because it's Mother's Day, most of my examples are going to be women. Doesn't mean that there are not men in the Bible, but I'm just going to do it this way today. Praise the Lord. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I just need us to know that when the Lord gave that instruction in the Garden of Eden, it was something. Right there when we messed up, he made provision for our redemption. Praise the Lord. And I want us to understand that, so that we would know that there was more to what a woman or a mother was meant to be and do. Praise the Lord. I tried to give a title, and I'll just give this a title. A topic, I'll just call it Double for Your Trouble. Praise the Lord. Double for Your Trouble. Amen. Okay. And we'll look at a scripture, and I'll read out that scripture, and if I can find it. Double for Your Trouble. So I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 61, verses 7 to 9, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, I love justice. I want us to get that. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. Let that stick. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Verse 9. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people that are blessed of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want us to just hold on to those scriptures while we look at that. So double for our trouble. I just want us to understand that, you know what, to be very honest, as much as we wish it could be all wonderful, it isn't, because of what happened at, you know, in the Garden of Eden. So we're fully responsible for the situations and the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We can also know that we're just part of, it's just eventually we're part of cosmic events that come sometimes affect us negatively. And if not for the power of God that is here to save us, if not for what has happened on the cross of Calvary, so many of us would have been taken under. However, I want us to realize that if you look at Job 5:7, it says, yet man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upwards. So this is reality. Okay. And if you look at it in the Message Bible, it says it's human. Mortals are bred for trouble as certain as sparks fly upwards. So there would always be trouble. And we can also see that, you know, Jesus dropped this message in the book of John 16, verse 33. And he told them, he was explaining to them what it's going to be like. And you would always hold on to the whatever anyone who, you know, the last words anyone says around, you want to hold on to them and really grab them. So he told them straight up, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I repeat, in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials, not a few, many. and sorrows, unfortunately. It says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Are we going to say a hallelujah to that?
Hallelujah.
How about that? He has overcome the world. And no matter whatever situation we found ourselves in, he will extricate us. He will get us out of that. While I sat there, I forgot to look up the scripture. I kept on repeating that word in my heart, but I'm just going to say it. Unfortunately, I don't know the scripture. I'm not too sure. Maybe it's Psalm, but I don't have it here. And I want to also assure us that no matter how bad things are, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 59 verses 9b that when the enemy comes up like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm going to put my quote there, in us, will raise and lift a standard against him. Amplified says, and put him to flight. Praise the Lord. So I want us to hold on to this while we look at our theme for today. Double for your trouble. I want you to know that it was never the plan of God for us to go through the things that we go through. But it's because of our own fault. And so even with that, he has been so gracious to help us and give us a reason to keep pressing on. But I just want you to know that we serve a very good God. And just like you are as a mom and your children just do really naughty things, you punish them, but you hug them. You don't just keep it out there. And I know, like we said, today could be good for some people and it might not be good for some. Your moms might not be here. You might not have had a nice experience. Some of you might have, you know, I had to speak somewhere and I had to speak, you know, how it is to, bring up children as single on my own. So I had to speak and talk about certain things to encourage people and see their strengths in them. And obviously I was there to tell them my faith is a very strong part of my whole life. And so I had to share that. There could be different ways by which people ended up being mothers. Might not have been a good experience. But I just want to know you to know that you're the bringer of life. And even if you didn't do this biologically, you have something to give. Women bring life. Praise the Lord. That's what mothers do. So we're just going to look at some examples in the scriptures, and then we're just going to look at some circumstances of double for our trouble. See some trouble. So because of what the day is, I thought of Hannah. If you remember, some time ago I spoke about Jacobed. I love that woman. I don't know how that woman was able to be a slave and bring up three children that ruled and reigned. Like, I was thinking, did she have a fourth child? No. How could you do that? Three, even the royal family, they don't get all their royalties to behave in the right way. How do you do that? She's really someone that we look at, very courageous. A woman who insisted on life when there was a decree that there'll be death. She held on to her son. She wasn't afraid. And thank God, she produced a priest. She produced a prophetess. And she produced a leader. Awesome. Praise the Lord. But today I'm going to be looking at Hannah. Because this month has been a month of prayer. We've been praying in the month of March. So I just want to look at Hannah. Because she was a woman who had to struggle. Because she couldn't have a child and she wanted one. Now, that could be, we can find that in 1 Samuel 1, verses 1 to 28. You can read that at home because it's a long scripture. But I just want us to know that I want to give us the general scenario of Hannah's life. Hannah was married to her husband Elkanah, and he loved her to bits. Ish. Okay, ish. Because I just thought to myself, like, I mean, Elkanah, please. I mean, what do you think? You say you love her so much, blah, 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 blah. But you went and married another woman, Penina, who was a thorn in her flesh. And they will say, but he had to have children. I'm not going to say anything about that. Because Samson's mother and father had no child, and I didn't see him go and marry another woman. Okay? Did you see John the Baptist's parents doing that? Elizabeth. So I hold my own. He loves her. We agree. Okay? Fine. Okay? I'm not going to argue scripture. But That love came from his own mouth. It's not like it wasn't God that said it. Praise the Lord. Okay. So I want us to see that in verse 5, the Bible tells us then that her husband gave her a double portion of the meat each time he was giving meat because he loved her. And he knew she didn't have children. Okay, so I want us to hold on to that. But in verses 6 and 7, we'll find out that Penina, who was the second wife that came in and obviously had children, was technically, the Bible said in verses 6, that Penina provoked her and irritated her year after year. And when they were about to go to pray, she made sure she tormented her until she cried. Year after year. I don't know the nagging situations in your life, but I know that we have nagging situations. They're just like that. Dealing with us with situations we can't help ourselves with. The Bible says, because the Lord closed her womb. It's God that closed her womb. She didn't do anything particular. She didn't. Now, then we get to verse 8. Mr. Elkanah, the Ephraimite, turns around and tells her, why are you sad? Why are you sorrowful? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? And I was thinking, he's really proud. 10! He didn't even ask her, how many sons am I equal to? He said, am I not more to you than 10 sons? But Hannah, being the humble, wonderful woman she was, she didn't answer him. Clever woman. Praise the Lord. Just keep your mouth shut. Okay. So we're just looking at her because she was a real example of a woman of prayer. She took her battles to God. Okay. And I want us to understand that. So if we look at the next verse, which is verse 9, we can see that she went to the Lord. She went up that time, and I think she'd had enough. So she went to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says she poured out her soul to the Lord. Her lips were mumbling. No sounds were coming out. She was poor. She was a broken woman. I don't know what circumstance is hiding behind our faces that we're broken and hurt. It's really hard. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to God in prayer. She was recorded to not be mumbling. It's probably not something they were used to. You don't have to do it the way people are used to. You really don't. God sees you and he knows. So you take it to God anyhow. It doesn't even matter. Okay? Because afterwards it didn't matter, did it? And here comes, what's his name? What is he called? Priest? Was he a priest? Eli. Come on. You know. And it happens, you know. He misunderstood what she was going through, you know. And then we can see 12 to 15. He comes and tells, oh, stop your wine and all that. And, you know, bless her soul. But Hannah did not take offense. Praise the Lord. I want us to understand. I want us to follow this process. Sometimes people are going to get in your face. Okay. She was in the church. Like we're here. And sometimes we just rub off on each other, not in the nice way. And I'm not being funny. He's actually the priest that they go to hear from God. And you can't even tell that a woman is praying. You think she's drunk. Okay. You know, so you can imagine that. And then, but she didn't take offense. She just told him, I'm just a woman of sorrow. And to God be all the glory. No matter what was going on in Eli's life, he didn't do well bringing up his children. Everybody knew that. And I personally have personal problems with Eli. You know, when I read the Bible, I get really angry. When I see when they told him what was going to happen and he said, is the Lord so be? I'm like, you're silly. You should cry like David. What's your problem? Well, he's God. He can do as he wishes. I'm thinking, is he real? You know, so I have a personal problem with that. Okay, praise the Lord. Because it's just the wrong thing to do, isn't it? If they come with a prophecy, you can cry and plead and beg, you know. And he just took it that way. So here we are. Then he gives her a word because he is an anointed man of God. And he tells her, may you find favor with God over your request. And she said and accepted that word. I want you to see something. The Bible says that Hannah's countenance changed. She left there. She went and had a bath and decided to eat. Her fasting was over. She hadn't seen Samuel by then. So I want us to understand the power of the word. The power of the word. You might not see your answer, but if you are able to get that word from God, that is what you're birthing. Praise the Lord. So I want us to understand the power of the word. It is more than just physical beings that you're giving birth to. So she does that, and we can see that she gets the answer to her prayers the same night. She goes home, her husband, both of them go to bed, and she gets pregnant, okay? And then Samuel is born. Praise the Lord. I'm going through this because I want us to pick up this and see what is happening here. Now, she made a vow, and that is it. While you're going through your challenges and your struggles and your sorrows, get in alignment with God. Praise the Lord. God needed her to make the vow. He needed a man that will stand in the gap and save Israel and stand in that position because Eli was making a mess of it. And she said to God, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. So she took a Nazarene vow. Some children were given that straight from heaven, but she decided to make that commitment on behalf of her son. And she asked for a son and not a daughter. Praise the Lord. And we can see that God blessed her. And she kept her vow. So in verses 24 to 26, you will see her presenting Samuel. I guess he was about 3 years old because they said he had been weaned and all that. So I sat down and I thought to myself, I have two adult children. They're adults. Yeah. They're technically looking at me. They're adults. Even in their adulthood, I kind of like ask them questions, which I can tell that they're a bit irritated because they feel they're adults. But I try to remind them that we've all grown up together. We still have the same age difference between myself and you. I'm still your mama. Okay? How would I take my three-year-old and give him to Mr. Eli that couldn't even take care of his own children? It's an act of faith. Hallelujah. She understood she was giving her child to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And she wholeheartedly took her three-year-old son and gave her to a man who his children were as much as abusing the church workers. Praise the Lord. What we're doing is we're giving our children, giving our dreams, our visions to God. Praise the Lord. He is able to take care of it. Hallelujah. So I just want us to hold on to that. Now, when we go to 1 Samuel 2:21, we want to see that you will see that God, after she had done this, God blessed her with 5 more children. Praise the Lord. Absolute double for her trouble. We didn't even hear about Penina anymore. And I'm thinking, na, 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 na. Seriously. It's so mean of her, bless her. But we all have Peninas in our lives. I'm telling you. I want to explain to you how this is double for her trouble. You remember her husband used to give her a double portion of the meat too? Good. Now God gave her 2 more and replaced Samuel. So she had 5. Double for her trouble, replacement for the one that she gave to him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God never owes us. He even gives us more than double for our trouble. So what I want us to get out of this particular example is persist in prayer. Don't get distracted. Praise the Lord. You want double for your trouble. Persist in prayer and don't get distracted. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take a second example, and I'm going to use the widow and the oil in the book of 2 Kings 4:1-7. This was a woman who her husband was a prophet, was part of the team of prophets. So in terms of serving the Lord, tick. In terms of being married, tick. In terms of having children, tick. But then sorrow came. Tragedy came. And her husband died. Now, not only did he die, he left her with a debt. And not only did he leave her with a debt, they wanted to take her children and enslave them. That's a lot. Praise the Lord. So I don't know what circumstance or situation that can come into your life and bring tragedy. But I want us to look at the attitude of this woman. She knew where to go. She went straight to them. Listen, my husband has gone. Look at what I'm, my situation. She wasn't angry, because some of them would be like, okay, my husband has said, what do you people have for me? No, she just, this is what I'm going through. So our attitude coming to God is very important. Our circumstances is because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Even though people might be filling in the gaps, it's still the enemy at work. Praise the Lord. And then the prophet now asks her, so what do you want me to do for you? Some of us would have ended it there. What do you expect me to want? What do you expect? What do you mean? Blah, 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 blah. You know, but she was still looking. Then he said, what do you have? And she said, I don't have anything. Then she remembered, oh, got a bit of oil. Praise the Lord. Oil is symbolic of anointing, prayers, the presence of the Holy Spirit. It might not be much because you're in sorrow. You're not feeling great. So it might look like a little jar and not much. But that's what she had. And he gave her the word. She took the word. Now, we read the Bible all the time. I do. But do you know that I kind of like just realized that the prophet didn't go in with her and shut the door. I actually thought he was inside that place before. I didn't know that. No, she just took the instructions and he said, go and get more jars. Now, let's be honest. I told you that I'm owing and you're telling me to go into more debt. Go to my neighbors and get their jars. I mean, you're not credit worthy. And then you're knocking on everybody's door. Oh, can I have jars? Can I have jars? Can I have jars? So you'll be thinking to yourself, does he want me to go into more debt and make me more embarrassed? But she obeyed. She took the word. Praise the Lord. And she closed that door behind herself and her sons. And she kept on pouring. Praise the Lord. Closing the door is just a symbol of praying, you know. That oil is just prayers. It is praying upon the word that you've received. And that is what you do. You shut the door. Out, no more, no distractions. Persistence in prayer. And now in addition, I just want us to call it have faith. Praise the Lord. She had faith. I wouldn't go and be borrowing more when I'm already owing. What are you trying to do? Now, I want us to understand that at the end, she had enough to clear her debt and enough to take care of her children. So she got double for her trouble. Praise the Lord. God will give us double for our trouble in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay. So I'm gonna use two people together to represent something. And it's going to be Bathsheba and Abigail. We can find about Abigail in the book of 1 Samuel 25, 1 to 42. Interesting. And then we have Bathsheba. Everybody knows about her. She was, bless her soul. She was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. In all fairness, she was one of those five ladies, you know, apart from Mary, who was all right. The rest of the four were, she was one of them. Hey. And I queried all that. I now started to say, but God, you've really been gracious to Bathsheba, you know. But we'll get there. So Abigail is a woman that married a man called Nabal. Literally, she had a rich fool as a husband. He was a fool, daft, but he had money. Praise the Lord. And his name, that's his name actually means foolish. Go check it up, Nabal. I'm not just, you know, literally his mother and his father gave birth to him. Probably they were rich and they just said, called him fool. Praise the Lord. And he was really foolish. Okay. Now, he was the one that had all this money. And when he had his servants somewhere, David took care of them. Now, David was going to pass there and just ask for a bit of, do you have, you know, things? And he just snapped. Don't all of you, silly people like you, that you go defect from your leaders. And he just talked in a silly way. Oh, my God, he got David angry. David does not lose battles. Oh, and as soon as Abigail heard that, oh my gosh, she just stood up and she realized that I might be with a foolish, rich husband, but I'm a woman of wisdom. I'm an intercessor. And she got ready, she got things ready, and she went out there and she met him and she appealed. You know, in every man, there is a lion and there is a lamb. Sometimes you've got to minister to the lamb in them, calm them down. Oh, David was the lion. He was about to deal. There wouldn't have been anyone left alive. And I was thinking, bless him. He was really hungry, wasn't he? A hungry man is an angry man. And not with David was angry. But she appealed to the lamb in him. She told him, don't start defending yourself. Don't do this. She was trying to fight for her generation. You see, the woman the woman before that took her sons and closed the door, the enemy is always after the seed. He's after the offspring. Why didn't they want to take the woman? Why did it have to be her children? She shut that door and insisted, you're not enslaving my children. So here was Abigail. Even though he's a fool, I'm his wife. I'm not going to allow this to happen. She rose up in intercession. Praise the Lord. Let's rise up and pray, no matter our circumstance. I don't know how she got there. I don't know. I was just thinking to myself, is it because he had money? Abigail, check. But it really doesn't matter because it didn't matter to God. It really doesn't matter to God. We find ourselves in circumstances and situations. It's not what we always expect, but we find ourselves there. Okay. Now, I put her together with Bathsheba because we know what happened with Bathsheba's case. She was taking her bath. That's how we knew her. Naked woman. And somebody was peeping, a whole king of Israel was peeping at a naked woman, taking her bath honorably in her house. So I just came to realize that she was more of a victim. Although she committed adultery, and she was more of a victim, you know. What would you do? The king of Israel, handsome David, has called you, and then all of a sudden, you know, what happens. But then I want us to know that she is responsible for her actions. There's nobody saying she's not responsible for her actions. But that's the God we serve. He gives us double for our trouble. He loves us anyway. He knew what happened from the Garden of Eden. And he made a way for us where there seems to be no way. I mean, think about it. Then I had to start investigating because obviously. And then I thought about it. And it's just the fact that she had lost her husband, was killed by David. She had lost a son with him already. Okay? And if he had put her out, she would have been a widow and probably never get married. That's harsh. So that's how she found herself in David's house. So we're going to look at Abigail. Because two of them ended up being wives of David. Praise the Lord. The Lord, 10 days after Nabal had spoken stupidly, by the time he was drunk and he came out of his drunken state, when his wife told him, he was screaming, oh my God, what have I done? Oh my God. That's what fools do. They just talk. You know? So he was just a fool. He started lamenting. But you've done the harm already. Thank God for a wise woman that interceded. And 10 days later, the Bible said, God killed Nabal himself. I didn't know that. It's good to read the Bible. I knew he died, but I didn't know it was God that did that. Okay? Literally says that. God killed him. So it's verse 38. Okay. So the first thing David did was to ask them to go and bring Abigail, and she became one of his wives. Praise the Lord. That is double for her trouble. Living with a dum-dum and then turning around to become the queen of one of the most popular kings that loves God, you know? What a difference. Praise the Lord. That's double for her trouble. And then for Bathsheba, not only was she married, I told God, how come you decided to make her have Solomon? Because he's sovereign. Hallelujah. And he can do what he wants. Amen. And I wouldn't mind if it were me, so why should I be, you know, feeling in a funny way because it's someone else? Who am I to judge? Praise the Lord. That was what God wanted to do. And glory be to his holy name. When push came to shove, she showed she was an intercessor. Praise the Lord. So we just have to, we look at this and we're talking about wisdom and submission, repentance. Wisdom, submission, and repentance. Praise the Lord. We'll look at, I'm going to talk about Naomi, but most of the times when we talk about Naomi, we have to talk about Ruth too. And I'm doing that because we've got more mature people. I want us to see how we've channeled our women of example. So you cannot be excluded in whatever we're talking about. Naomi is a more mature lady. Okay, we call them more mature. We don't call them old. Nobody's old. Nobody's elderly. They're just getting more mature. Okay, maturing. And we're never matured because we're not cheese. I've told them we're maturing, maturing, and aging gracefully. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's an example of someone who lost everything. She went to the wrong location. She lost her husband, lost her two sons, and she was empty and broken. So she decided the best thing for me is to go back home. But God blessed her, and Ruth decided to follow her back. And we know the story. Now, one thing I said to myself, I said I was wondering, did Ruth not have a mom, though? So I want to challenge us as mothers. You don't have to be a physical, biological mom, adopted mom. She must have been a splendid mother-in-law. So wherever you have to express your motherhood, do it with all of your heart. That might just be the answer to your problems of any day. Praise the Lord. And so they went back, and we can see that in verse 15. I know I'm rushing a bit, but I hope we would get that down. In verse 15b, the Bible says, after Ruth and Boaz came together to get married, because Ruth was listening to Naomi, Naomi never expected her life to continue. She thought everything. In fact, when they were calling her Naomi, she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Bitter. And I'm thinking, oh, confessions. Confessions. But that's the way she felt. Okay? Now, the Bible says, afterwards, Boaz married her. He redeemed that family. And God blessed them with a child. There's a lot in that which I won't be able to say. But I just looked at the background of Boaz and Ruth. It's quite interesting. Boaz did not live for long after marrying Ruth, you know. Interesting. I found that out too. But Ruth was able to conceive and have Obed. Verse 15b says this. For your daughter-in-law loves you, and she is better than seven sons. After having given birth. Praise the Lord. So that is double upon double. It's multiples. So she's really got more than. She had two sons, don't forget. And she had a husband, three. So God has given her someone that is seven. You know, God is so good. And he always adds one to it. Have you noticed that? In our mathematical description of double fire trouble. That I've done myself. Nobody's done it. I'm literally the one trying to say that. But it's true. You lose three. And then you get seven. Or maybe we'll add the four because of the other daughter-in-law that didn't come. So God doubled it, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Because she had one that was better than seven. Praise the Lord. And then I'm going to give a final example in this context. And it is Rebecca. Praise the Lord. So do we have young ones here? Those that are not married. Those that are not mothers. And you might be thinking, oh, they're talking about mothers, mothers, mothers. It has nothing to do with me. You're going to be a mother. For whatever means, whether spiritually, whether biologically, whether whatever, you're going to be a mother. Now we have someone like Rebecca. Rebecca was a beautiful young lady who was out there busy for her father. Praise the Lord. She was fetching water. She was just doing the bid of her father. Younger ones, I want to advise and encourage you to be found in the house of God, serving God. You will not know when you will get your own prince. Praise the Lord. So the Bible said, that by the time Eliezer, sorry, I'm really rushing that, that you can get in Genesis 24, 17 to 19, 20 to 21. Okay? Now, when Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, who he entrusted to go and get a wife to comfort his son Isaac, who had just lost his mom, and you could tell, you know, it was a pampered child. Why wouldn't he be? It took them, his mother, how many years to get, have him? His father, how many years? Like, they were literally past father, grandfather, and were getting into great-grandfather when they had him. Bless his soul. So he was really, you know, so his father sent his well-trusted servant to get a wife. And he prayed to God and asked God to lead him to the person that if he asks for help, the person would help and do a bit more. So can I encourage the younger generation, those who are not maturing like me or aging gracefully, and you're young and full of life, find yourself busy doing God's work. Get into a relationship with God. Don't be selfish. Because she wasn't. She was hospitable. She gave him water and went back and kept on getting water and filling water for all of. She was amazing. That's how she bagged herself a prince. Praise the Lord. Literally. I can assure you that was. His mom was so cute, Sarah. She was so pretty that Abraham felt insecure with her as a wife. So I'm sure she would have had a real good looking son. And he had loads of money too. Okay, praise the Lord. And he was brought up with God, which is the most important thing. He had a legacy of Christianity. You can't go wrong with Isaac. Praise the Lord. And that's how she got that. So be busy doing God's work. Don't compromise. Don't be in the world. Don't think that that's the only place where you can get these things. God is faithful. He will meet you where you are. And he will give you what you need. Praise the Lord. So I'm just going to say that I'm using only female examples because it's Mother's Day. We've got examples of Job in the Bible. We've got examples of Joseph. You can see double for one's trouble. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So it's just because of our circumstance. I really want you to reflect on the things that we're talking about today. It is life. But God is more than able. If you stopped believing and trusting, I hope these words today will encourage you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But now I want to tell us something. Going back to the Garden of Eden, the Lord said there, the seed of your womb will crush the head of Satan, and Satan will bruise his foot. Praise the Lord. And obviously, what I want us to understand is that what the Lord said, because Mary, we've even gotten to Mary, but I'm just going to jump down and just talk about Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was an innocent young, I think they said 12 to 14, I'm not too sure. And she was not qualified to be the one chosen. But the Bible said that the angel came to her and offered that. And she agreed. I think it's Luke 1:38. And she, first of all, said, but how is this going to be done? Because I'm a virgin. I don't know how that's going to be done. But that's where God revealed his splendid plan. It is not going to involve a man. It is the word. The Bible says in the book of John 1, verses 1 and 14. 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14 now says, and the word became flesh. When she received that same word, the word that we could see that Hannah received, the word we could see that the woman at the well received, they received the word. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit came upon her. Hallelujah. And that is how Jesus was born. Praise the Lord. So our Lord and Savior Jesus, he is God's master plan on how we will escape the negativity and the evil of this world. How we will come in identification with him. And then we're able to see what we can call double for our trouble. Praise the Lord. I want us to understand that the times are really evil. The enemy did bruise the foot of Jesus because Jesus allowed it for my sake and yours. He allowed him to gave his life. He laid his life down for myself and you. Praise the Lord. He paid the ultimate price. The days are really evil. And if you don't hear anything else I say today, I really, really want to ask you, have you given your life to Jesus? Have you called Jesus into your heart? Are you born again? Very important. I mean, we've gone through Arise Sheffield. We've gone through the Equip 1000 to preach the gospel. But have you received this? We have a Savior that has paid the ultimate price. I have two children. I keep on resounding it. I'm not very generous with you and my two children. You're not going to take a knife to go, what? You have to get past me to do that, both physically and in the spirit, because I will rise up and I will pray, you're not having my children. Praise the Lord. And God gave his only son up for myself and you. This sacrifice was not half, it wasn't haphazard. It was a total, if you understand the gift of God and the love of Jesus, you will not be out of this relationship. Praise the Lord. Jesus' love was demonstrated in an amazing way. You have no clue what heaven is like. And he left it to come down here. Be born of the Virgin Mary. Live under those circumstances for 33 and a half years. If you don't get anything else out of what I'm saying today, please give your life to Jesus. Come into that relationship with him. He loves you. If he has done that, there is nothing he will keep back from you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read Hebrews 7. And that is what the woman is symbolic. The mother is symbolic of the birth of the Word. Praise the Lord. The Word became flesh. That is it. That is the power of is the Word that the Lord dropped in the Garden of Eden. This is what's going to happen. This is my redemption plan. So that is the reason why, whether you're a biological mother or not, you are a birther of life. Praise the Lord. And the Lord decided to bring the woman into the context of bringing salvation without a physical man. What an honor, women. Hallelujah. So it doesn't really matter when people are having problems with their gender and not having problems. You know that you came from God this way. Hallelujah. And that still, whatever it is motherhood. It is the birth of life of the Word. I'm reading Hebrews 7, and I'm going to read it from verse 20 to 25. And I'm just going to read this from NIV. It says, and it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in the office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Verse 25. Therefore, he is able to deliver and save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Hallelujah. We've got a Savior that will take you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. So that's my word as a mother today. Praise the Lord. We might be the mothers, but you're the seeds. And we are the seed too. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you.